You know, the check engine light in your car is one of those things that a lot of times you ignore if your car feels like it's driving properly. You think, come on, well, it feels like it's fine. Well, first, a lot of times you freak out. Now, I learned that if it's blinking, that's when you really, really freak out. But if it's solid, you're like, yeah, well, it feels like it's driving fine. Well, one of the reasons that light comes on is because cars are now designed to compensate for problems when they can. And so you may have a vehicle with a problem, but it is just, you know, for your own safety and comfort, it is compensating for that problem so you don't notice it. That's why that light is there. If you noticed every single problem that occurred, you wouldn't need the light to tell you. So that's why it's there. So don't ignore it. And you never know. You may take it into A1 Custom Car Care and they'll be like, oh, you know, the gas cap wasn't in right. It could be something very simple along those lines. They can run the test. They can find out. But it could also be the sort of problem that, well, you can fix now for $200, or if you let it go, it'll eventually cause a catastrophic problem that could result in thousands of dollars or maybe even the need to buy a brand new vehicle. Don't let it get there. Make sure to have that check engine light checked out. Putting black electrical tape over it doesn't count. A1 Custom Car Care, Fort and Sunshine, Springfield, Highway 60, Republic, and West Sunset, across from Classic Rock Coffee.
No one's ever done that, have they?
Yeah, right, I know. That's the ultimate fix for it. Can you turn the light off? Yeah, here, just a little bit of tape put over it.
By the way, my tire pressure light came on over the weekend, but it flashed for 60 seconds first, and then it just went solid. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Yeah. So here I am. I get my manual out. I'm looking through it. I'm like, are my tires low? I got out and checked them. They didn't look low. And it says, well, if your light just comes on, it's low tire pressure. You need to get your pressure checked. However, if it flashes for 60 seconds and then goes solid, there is a malfunction in your tire pressure warning system causing that light to come on. How does there become a malfunction in my tire pressure warning system? So that's another one that I probably should take over to A1 to get checked.
I had the tires rotated on one of our vehicles that has the, you know, it's gauge, and I've got an app on the phone. I can see what my PSI is and everything. And I had never thought of this, but they told me, you know, when you rotate the tires, they have to reprogram the car to know that those tires were rotated, because otherwise the front tire, if it shows 36 PSI, that would actually be the back
tire.
Yeah. And so you could end up, you know, really confused. Like, I keep putting air in my front tire, but the back tire is the one that's inflating.
In the meantime, your front tire explodes because you put too much air in it.
Yeah. Driving in circles. I'm constantly pulling to the right.
Front that is stalled across southwest Missouri will be the focus for more showers and thunderstorms today. Heavy rain is possible, but the National Weather Service says there's no threat for severe weather. The rain is expected to continue off and on through Saturday, with several locations receiving 2 inches or more. More than 1,100 cases of COVID-19 have been added to Missouri's total, raising the count to 43,050. The state health department says four more people died Monday, making the death toll more than 1,200 since the pandemic began. And follow-up talks are planned after a meeting between the Springfield NAACP and the police department. The meeting was scheduled after demands were made by the city's NAACP, including banning any form of neck restraints such as chokeholds, also reducing the disparity index, and reforming the Police Civilian Review Board. No decisions made at the meeting, but Police Chief Paul Williams says they are continuing to meet for a greater trust in the community. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast. Today, tomorrow, Thursday, chance of showers with a high of 85. I mean, we're staying pretty consistent this week. A little cooler, chance for rain. It's humid, though. 72 and mostly cloudy. The OKSGF Studios. We are on Spotify. We are on iTunes. And, of course, you can watch while listening to the show on Facebook. That's 1041 Nick Reed or KSGF.com. You know, the disparity index, this, think of the logistics of this, complaining about this. And that is, oftentimes, you can have arrests, you know, a disproportionately high number of this grouping of people over that grouping of people arrested. Saying, well, that needs to be zero. Or as close to zero as possible. Now, how do you do that? Think about it for a moment. Let's say you get a 911 call, domestic abuse situation. You arrive on the scene. All right, well, this person is this particular category. Let's see. Oh, no, we've had 1.2% higher arrest rate so far this year. So sorry, lady. You guys are going to have to figure this out yourself. I mean, think about that. You know, most of the time when a police officer or when there's an arrest that occurs, it's not as if the police officer is just wandering around. They're like, huh, well, there's a person. I think I'll go see whether or not they're committing some crime. That's not how it happens most of the time. Most of the time, it's responding to some sort of call that occurs. Someone's breaking into my home. Do you mind telling us what color they are? Well, they're this color. All right, hold on a sec. Oh, sorry, we have had a disproportionate high number of individuals of that category arrested. So maybe next month. This is such a tremendous problem, and it's the ignorance when it comes to dealing with this issue. And that is, these numbers are collected and then there's no evaluation done on them. I'm not going to go on and talk about this because, I mean, we've got traffic here and I have a number of other things I do want to talk about. And I've mentioned this before. All of this data gets collected and then there is no scientific evaluation. There's no intellectual evaluation as to why these numbers mean what they mean. You are just supposed to conclude it's because police in Springfield are all racist. And that's it. There could be no other conclusion. So the answer is stop being racist. There you have it. Problem solved. I do want to talk about there's a story of the mayors of Chicago, Portland, and other cities blast deployment of federal riot-clad forces. And you've heard Democrats reference law enforcement as Nazis and stormtroopers. Now, the unfortunate atmosphere that's been created in this debate is one that is void of any actual intellectual approach. There are a lot of reasons to be concerned about individuals on a federal level committing, or engaging in law enforcement on a local level, and the way that they go about it. I mean, there in no way, shape, or form should ever be a blank check given to the executive on that. The problem is this debate is not being held based on truth. This discussion is not being based on reality, but instead this fantasy world that Democrats have created, that we went from a world with all local law enforcement. All of a sudden, Donald Trump created federal agents and for the very first time is dispatching them out to do stuff. While there is, without question, legitimate discussions to have about the usage of and how they're used. And for some instances, it can be a real learning experience as to why they're used. Sometimes we see it and we don't like it. We go, well, actually, now I understand that doesn't kind of make sense. Other times we may look at it and think it makes sense, but then think, well, actually, no, it doesn't, upon further learning. But the one thing I know is for the left to pretend as if using federal agents for law enforcement purposes is something new and something that they're uncomfortable with, they are so full of crap. They are lying to you. What they don't like is the fact that they're not using them against people they don't like. I think Laura Ingraham said, can you imagine? Let's say Hillary Clinton in the White House. And if pro-life people were doing what these rioters are doing in cities across the country, you think Hillary Clinton wouldn't use federal agents to come in? You think she wouldn't be throwing people in prison? If pro-life people were causing hundreds of millions of dollars worth of damages, if pro-life people were murdering and attacking innocent civilians and police officers, all for the sake of the cause, for the injustice, if pro-life people were saying no justice or no justice, no peace, you think Hillary Clinton would be like, no, this isn't appropriate use of federal government. No, these are just people that for the most part are protesting peacefully. And I think we all know the answer to this. In fact, when we come back, we'll take a little look back in history regarding Democrat administrations and federal law enforcement. Don Luzader first with the latest traffic. Well, not the, yeah, it is the latest traffic update. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1. Plenty of legitimate intellectual discussions to have regarding the issue of federal law enforcement and the way that they engage with these rioters and protesters. That's not what's happening. There is a lot of misinformation out there. These are not troops that were created by Donald Trump to go after protesters. In fact, the federal government has an obligation whenever federal property is being attacked. And that's what's happening in a lot of these instances. Federal property is being attacked. So it's under the jurisdiction of federal law enforcement. In many instances, these federal agents were already on the ground working with these cities when it came to dealing with normal everyday crime in the cities. The Democrats want you to believe that these are, I guess, that none of these law enforcement officers on a federal level even existed to begin with, or if they did, they were just, I don't know, held in a warehouse somewhere in Washington, D.C., and that's where they stayed all the time. And for the very first time, Donald Trump has dispatched them to communities. I mean, where do you think they've been all this time? They've been out everywhere. Now, while one may argue again that, well, they shouldn't be, or they shouldn't be using this capacity, the point is this presentation from Democrats like, oh, this is Joel. Oh, Donald Trump is using his own special force to infiltrate. That's total BS. The problem is Democrats love this sort of power when they get to use it against people they don't like. When they get to use it against deplorables. The problem they have is it is being used in order to try and tamp down the Democrat activists that are out there attacking police. They want this chaos. Obviously they want it. They're refusing to deal with it. They are passing resolutions blocking their local law enforcement from doing anything about it. And they are more concerned about federal agents enforcing the law than they are about their own citizens being attacked and their own law enforcement being murdered by these people. The idea that somehow they are just opposed to utilizing law enforcement in this fashion, Waco, anybody? For those of you that don't, I remember Waco. I was in high school when it happened. This is where you had a grouping of individuals that were following their leader, David Koresh. Lived in a facility down outside of Waco, Texas. Housed, I don't know how many people. I know they ended up with 76 corpses. The Clinton administration received word that they may have, you know, they might be exercising their Second Amendment rights down there. And so Janet Reno dispatched law enforcement to search the place. And they said, no, we have a Second Amendment right. And there were allegations of abuse and so forth. But fact of the matter is David Koresh on a number of occasions left the compound to go shopping for groceries. They didn't take him into custody at that time, but instead decided to throw in flash bombs, to throw in smoke grenades, eventually a fire would start. Now, the government says that Koresh started it. What, you know? Point being, it was an escalation. Sure wasn't a de-escalation. In that attack, 76 people died, 25 of which were little children, one of which was a pregnant woman. Now, Democrats, of course, will say, well, that's different. Well, of course it's different because they were the ones in charge. Of course it's different because the people they were going after were fundamentalist Christians. Well, now we're talking about Democrat activists that are anti-police. Those are their people, see? So it's outrageous whenever These federal agents are used in order to enforce the law against their people, but when they're using it against fundamentalist Christians, including killing 25 children, well, you know, they should have known better. It's their fault. They should have just surrendered. See the difference there? Here's another one. In fact, I've got some audio here. This was not long after Bill Clinton was in office. One of his first pretty high-profile tasks as president regarded a little boy whose mother died risking her life in order to save him from the horrors of communist Cuba. She had family in Florida, so she took her little boy, Ilian Gonzalez, tried to make it to the United States. She died in the process. He lived and lived with his family. Well, the Clinton administration was intent on sending him back to communist Cuba. You know, these people that love the Democrat Party, they love illegals, especially the dreamers, the children. Not in this case. This was different. Why? Well, who knows why? One, communism, love it. Here's some clips from news stories regarding that. Now, keep in mind the way that Democrats today act about using federal law enforcement.
This is the latest move in the political, legal, and emotional chess match between the father and his lawyers, the Miami family and their lawyers, and the chief legal officer of the United States.
They grabbed the boy, as you can see there from the videotape, placed him into a white van, and then backed that van out of the neighborhood.
Unmarked?
The crowd had been sprayed with pepper spray in order to get them to break a human chain that had been forming. They were unable to form that chain. They were unable to get in the way of the federal marshals who came into the home.
The final decision was made about 4 o'clock Eastern time to go get the child from his house in the way that no one wanted it to be done, they say, but the way that they had said was the last resort.
I heard shuffling everywhere. I heard people screaming. I heard the walls banging all over the place. And I heard Ilian screaming, and I thought I was dreaming. And I woke up, and I grabbed the little boy, and I didn't know which way to run. So I ran into the bedroom, and I held Ilian in my arms. And I tried to hide in the closet, but there was no room. I was in fear for this little boy. They came down and they took with assault weapons and they grabbed the boy from my arms.
Did Ilian say anything?
Yes, he was screaming, help, que pasa?
Earlier this morning, federal agents in Miami began to reunite Ilian Gonzalez with his father and uphold the rule of law.
Oh, the rule of law. Now, almost every aspect of that story there is happening today as well. Except now it's, you know, the target are police burning, or I mean, are activists that are burning down, they're rioters. In this case, it was a 6-year-old boy or 8-year-old or however old Ilian was at the time. Unmarked vehicle used by the Clinton administration under Janet Reno. You know, what they referred to as chemical weapons today, pepper spray. There was a chain of these are people who were family members of Ilian Gonzalez who did not want to see this boy torn from his family to be sent back to live with the father in communist Cuba. No-knock raid in the middle of the night with military-style assault weapons, all because of to get a little boy and send him back to a communist country. What was the stance of the Democrat Party at the time? Well, you know, mother should have known better than to try to escape Cuba. Family should know better. They should have just turned him over. Here, Janet Reno there. We're simply enforcing the law. As it is with virtually every issue for Democrats, the issue itself is irrelevant to them. It's how can they use it. When they can use it in their favor, they're for it. When they can use it, you know, against their enemy, they're against it. And you know, one of the ways that they're demonstrating that now is the use of federal law enforcement. They have no problem using it against people they don't like. The outrage is total and complete BS. They are dishonest. They continue to use it as a way. And the thing of it is, look at who they use it against. Innocent kids. Oftentimes, whether it's Waco, whether it's Ilian Gonzalez. And their answer is always, well, they should have known better. Oh, but people who attack police officers and burn down buildings, you leave them alone. That's the bread and butter of the Democrat Party. Don Luzader with the latest news update.
Good morning. The Community Blood Center of the Ozarks issuing a critical appeal for all blood types, saying reserves are below a comfortable level. The executive director of the CBCO says more than 280 blood drives have been canceled in our area since March because of the coronavirus. Now, if you're eligible to give, they would love for you to stop by. You are asked, though, to make an appointment first in order to maintain social distancing guidelines. We have all the details on how you can do that at KSGF.com. Several fall sports in Missouri State have starting dates that have been pushed back to September 18th because of COVID-19. The Missouri Valley Football Conference says it's waiting to make any decisions regarding the upcoming football season. Missouri State's game against Oklahoma has been moved up to the end of August. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements Discounts. For veterans, firefighters, police officers, EMTs, we've got a chance of showers, thunderstorms today, tomorrow, Thursday, high of 85, 85, 85, 73 now. The KSGF Studios. Bundys are another example. Talking about the hypocrisy of Democrats acting as if they just are. These Nazis being used by the Trump administration to go after these poor, innocent protesters who just want to express themselves by burning down buildings and throwing things, hospitalizing police officers. Meanwhile, they had no problem killing off 25 kids in Waco. No problem using them to snatch up an innocent child in the middle of the night with a no-knock order, throwing him into an unmarked van and driving him off so he could be sent to communist Cuba. Now, Clive Bundy, that's another example. Ruby Ridge, now that was during the Bush administration before Clinton became president, but it was another example of the usage of, federal law enforcement. That was to serve a bench warrant in which, a child, a pregnant wife was taken out by a sniper. Now, obviously, some of these instances are horrifically wrong. But point being is Democrats have never had a problem with it. Most of the time, they're the ones behind it. Oh, I love this story. This is titled Gaslighting. Group is quietly planning for what happens if Trump-Biden election is contested. It was arguably the buzziest moment from an interview that made a lot of news. President Trump said when pressed during his recent sit-down interview with Chris Wallace, quote, I have to see. No, I'm not going to just say yes. I'm not going to say no. I didn't last time either. This on whether he'd accept the presidential election results. By the way, there is a difference between accepting something and abiding by something. See, they want you to believe that if Donald Trump were to lose and there was voter fraud and he didn't accept it, that means that he's going to be held up in the White House and he'll refuse to leave. That doesn't mean that. You know, right now, lying in the Capitol is the body of a congressman who refused to accept two presidential elections, the most recent one and the one in 2000. Elijah Cummings refused to go to George Bush's inauguration because he refused to accept the outcome of that election. He claimed Bush didn't win. I mean, where's the coverage of that? Not accepting the outcome of the election evidently is something worthy of fear that this is going to turn into some sort of military coup. Yet Elijah Cummings, who evidently was Jesus, he'll be rising any day now from that casket, he didn't accept two presidential outcomes. The piece in Fox News continues. The comments went viral. sparking scores of headlines and stories theorizing what might happen if the president loses November's general election but won't accept the results and concede. You mean like Al Gore in 2000? Who conceded and then took it back? I mean, you can make a list of Democrats who have refused to accept the outcome of the elections versus one for Republicans. I'm trying to think. I'm sure there must be some Republicans who have. I just don't know of any. I can list the Democrats. After the 2004 election, there were a number of Democrats that sent a letter to the United Nations asking them to investigate the 2004 election because they felt that George Bush didn't win that one either. They refused to accept the outcome, so asked for interference from the UN on it. On Sunday, the president took to Twitter to charge that the 2020 election will be rigged if mail-in voting is allowed to take place and everyone knows it. Trump's been warning about a rigged election for months. He's repeatedly railed against voting by mail. Meanwhile, days before the president's tweet in June, a group of former government and military officials, political operatives, and academics met virtually to take part in a war game to try and figure out what might happen in the event of such a contested election. The gathering was organized by the nonpartisan Transition Integrity Project. This is what's called gaslighting. It is to make it appear as if there is a reality that's not reality, to pretend as if we are in real danger here. We're in real danger because if Trump loses, he might not accept it. What are we going to do? My God, we're going to be in real danger. Now, I think that there's something else going on here besides simply trying to paint Donald Trump once again as some sort of delusional individual that will refuse to accept the outcome of the election as if he were a Democrat. I think that part of this is prepping for what they know is a very good chance that massive voter fraud will be exposed. And they know that this could very well be a close election. And that there could very legitimately be questions of voter fraud that occur. So what you could have happen, and this has happened before, the Nixon-Kennedy election, where Trump wins and all of a sudden these mail-in ballots start popping up. And as usual, Democrats have this uncanny ability of finding absentee ballots in trunks of cars and in basements of abandoned buildings. I mean, it's just amazing. Republicans never have this happen. But Democrats constantly, anytime they're behind and there are recounts, look, we found more ballots. And amazingly, every time that happens, Al Franken's an example of this. He's a recipient. This is how he won. Behind, oh, found some more ballots. And it's just amazing. The ballots that are found are Democrat ballots. It's amazing. So here's, and I think this is setting a stage for a potential outcome in which Trump barely wins and Democrats start miraculously, as they do, finding ballots, and they keep finding ballots until they can say, oh, look, we actually won. You know, you have one or two states, let's say Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Trump wins, but they keep finding ballots until they find just enough to say they won, and then look, we won, and Trump challenges it. Well, now all of a sudden, they've already predicted this. Trump refuses to accept the outcome of the election. What are we going to do? See, we told you. We told you this deranged individual here. Oh, we're in trouble now. We've had military people and academics of the Transition Integrity Project already planned for this. War games, they called it. In fact, because it was so predicted that Trump is so dangerous for this country that we predicted this would happen. Mark my words. If a scenario plays out where the election is close, now if we end up like we did back in 16, it's not going to be as relevant. But if we end up like a 2000 election and this mail-in ballot thing, I'm telling you, this mail-in ballot thing is a mulligan for Democrats. The mail-in ballot situation is one in which you have a couple of states, again, maybe Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, I'm just randomly picking states, and then Biden loses by 4,000 votes. You think they're not going to start finding mail-in ballots everywhere? Of course they are. And you think they're not all going to be overwhelmingly going for Biden, and you think they won't keep finding them until they can declare a victory? Of course they will. That's their do-over. Those are their bonus ballots. And then the moment that Trump points out the obvious, he'll be accused of, well, see, we knew. He said he might not accept the outcome of the election. This is one of the reasons that Trump really needs to win by a significant margin, because otherwise this mail-in ballot situation is, it's their bonus time on the clock. It's their extra credit. And they will use it. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Don Carricker, iwantagreathomeloan.com. Stephanie said, Don and Alex, the rest of the team really pushed through, got us to closing. It was great to work with you all. Thanks for everything. I would highly recommend and use again. Amy saying, great team process, very transparent. They were always quick to respond and super helpful. And Shane, just days ago, or actually, no, this is from a little bit ago. Don and the whole team, so good to work with. They made everything easy, set us down, explained everything in a way we could understand that was going on. They really did everything for us. We couldn't have asked for a better experience. So if you're looking to buy a home, highly recommend going in and talking to Don and his team. There's nothing more I can say. Just other than to reiterate that that was my experience and so many experience from people throughout the area as well. Any home loan questions or needs you may have, refinancing or otherwise, building brand new, iwantagreathomeloan.com. That's iwantagreathomeloan.com, because you do. Let's go to Todd in Springfield. Todd, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Hey, man, I think, I want to say this first before I make my comment. I think if they do a debate, Trump completely wipes the floor with it. But I don't think that's going to matter. I mean, I think that will swing some votes over, but I'm just pretty, what you see on social media and all what's going on right now, I think that Trump wins by a landslide. And I go as far as to say that I think he might win New York.
Well, nothing would surprise me. There was an editorial in, what, before I comment on that, did you have anything else, or was that, did we get you? Okay, good. All right. Thanks for the call. There was an editorial, I want to say it was the Washington Post, and it was Trump needs to stop making fun of Joe Biden's mental lapses, I think. It was trying to, you could tell that the description was one in which they didn't want to be overtly insulting, but at the same time had to relay what their message was. Now, I thought, I mean, just the headline itself, the fact that it's like full acknowledgement, Joe Biden is not mentally there. It's not a debate over whether or not he has mental problems. It's, you know, now we're debating over whether or not Donald Trump should talk about that, whether he should use it. Now, the editorial itself to some degree made sense, and it was like, listen, what I mean, and I do agree with this to some capacity. If you create expectations that Joe Biden is going to be a train wreck, and then he is, it's not really that shocking to people. You have already almost prepped them for that. You have made them, you know, accustomed to that idea. You want people going into a debate expecting him to do decent or even well, that way when he does collapse, that will be so shocking to people they'll turn away from it. They'll be like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And so one of the arguments that was made is that Trump needs to stop doing this because he's potentially inadvertently helping Biden by lowering expectations and creating these expectations that Trump should easily win the debate. And you know what? You never know. Joe Biden could have a really good night. It could happen. Sometimes people who are in the stage in life and the struggles that he's having, well, they'll fire on all cylinders for a while. It can happen. You know, now he's going to have three debates. The odds of all three of them, I don't know. I still think that they're going to try to get out of it, at least a couple of them, but nonetheless. The debates, they're going to be, they're going to be a big deal. But Biden once upon a time was known as a good debater. And I don't know if it's too late at this point, but I don't know. The Trump campaign maybe wouldn't be bad off backing off of the creation of expectations of a crash and burn for Biden. Now you look at it and you think, well, if he comes out and he starts saying, actually, Joe, you know, he's got a history of being a good debater, the media, because they are so critical of Trump, most likely would accuse him of just saying that in order to raise expectations, because everyone knows Joe will do a poor job. But then that's kind of funny, because you have the media acknowledging the only reason Trump's doing it is because everyone knows that Biden can't pull it off. I want to mention to you, I think this might be the last week for your chance to enter to win the $500 by submitting photos of your kids or grandkids doing what they do, whether it's musical talent, scholar, athletic, any of their accomplishments. This is Junior Plumbing celebrating the student all-stars, along with Foreman Mechanical and Dickerson Park Zoo. So if you have photos, you know, you post these things on Facebook, go to KSGF.com, submit them there, and you could win $500. All the details are at KSGF.com. Josh Hawley, U.S. Senator, Missouri, told the Washington Post, quote, "I will vote only for those Supreme Court nominees who have explicitly acknowledged that Roe v. Wade is wrong. Or is wrongly decided, rather. By explicitly acknowledged, I mean on the record and before they're nominated. I don't want private assurances from candidates. I don't want to hear about their personal views one way or another. I'm not looking for forecasts about how they may vote in the future, predictions. I don't want any of that. I want to see on the record, as part of their record, that they have acknowledged in some form that Roe v. Wade is a legal matter, is wrongly decided." Now, this is hysterically awesome. I say hysterically because Republicans rarely take such hardline stances on issues, particularly when it comes to nominating judges. Democrats have always held the monopoly on a litmus test, particularly when it comes to abortion. It's a settled law. You have to admit it's settled law. If you don't set it settled law, then we're not going to approve you. And Republicans have always been like, well, I don't really know. They don't even want to ask questions about being pro-life. Now, some of what Hawley is saying here, it is clear that Republicans have been hoodwinked by people like John Roberts and some of these others that get behind closed doors and like, oh, don't worry, I'm very pro-life, yes. And then they get in there, I'm very smaller, I'm very constitutional, I'm all about an original intent. And then they get in there and they're not. They're lying to these people. I mean, there have been a number of these rulings in which conservatives are like, what on earth? This is not what you told us. And so what Hawley is saying is, I don't want any more of that crap. You're going to be on the record. This makes a lot of Republicans uncomfortable because while they say they're pro-life, they don't really truly behave as if they really do believe lives are on the line, because they will put their reelection before saving lives of babies. In other words, they're afraid they'll sound too radical. They're afraid that voters will get scared that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. And so they don't want to ask those questions. Now, of course, Democrats will pitch a fit about settled law, settled law, settled law. But I'll just throw out one example that can completely and totally counter that, and that's Citizens United. Citizens United was a decision regarding campaign finance that Democrats don't like. And they constantly talk about the need to appoint Supreme Court justices that will overturn Citizens United. They have no problem doing that, even though it's precedent. So, you know, it's point being totally hypocritical and disingenuous of them to act as if you can't demand that sort of declaration because they do it all the time. Glenn Beck's next. I'm Nick Reed.